It is quite possible that this episode may contain some swearing and or the odd adult story. If this will offend you, please turn off your device now. A warm welcome to each and every one of you to the latest episode of the Beyond Canal Park podcast. Just about recovered from Scotland's exploits against Israel and away at the Faroes, and ready to get cracking with in-depth interviews once again. If you're a Spotify listener, the last couple of episodes have included a question of the week under the episode description. If you leave a reply, I will compile some of the best ones for future episodes and read them out. Please take time as well to leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. It really makes a big difference. And don't be shy in liking the Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages either. Lots of info, news and competitions always on the go, so interact with me there. Okay, this week I am joined by Gary Hake, who made it down to the studio on Monday evening. He talks to me about his playing days as a goal scorer before getting the coaching bug at Rothes. He reminisces about winning league titles and cups as assistant manager with Greg Carroll at Devon Vale and then Bucky before leading them to two cup finals and a famous Scottish Cup victory whilst at the helm himself. He blows the lid on his departure from Bucky and his return to the game with Cove Rangers, where he remains a trusted member of Paul Hartley's backroom staff as they climb the Scottish leagues. He also names the best 11 that he played with, and here's what he had to say. After having last week off the interviews for the international break, we return this week with a man who represented several clubs successfully across Aberdeen and beyond, before even more glory as assistant to Greg Carroll at Devon Vale and Bucky Thistle, where he became manager in his own right. Now part of Paul Hartley's backroom staff at Ambitious Cove Rangers, he has risen through the youth ranks, becoming first team coach. Delighted to be joined tonight by Gary Hake. Gary, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, very well, James. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. You ready for a trip down memory lane? It's not too bad, is it?
Hopefully not.
And you've listened to a few, so you can how I go.
Yeah, I've enjoyed listening to a lot of the podcasts that you've had on. It's been good. Thoroughly enjoyable.
Magic. Well, I was like my guests to just take me back to the youth for the love of football began for you, where it all started.
It probably started in a field in Cornhill Terrace, where myself and a few of my friends, we just used to come home from school, get the football kits on and go up the field and just play football and get as many bodies as you can in, throw the jumpers down as goalposts.
A familiar story.
That's where it started.
And that was Cornhill, Hilton, Canary, you said, yeah. Neighbour Dean. And even right back in the early days, there was some success there, I think.
Yeah, we had quite a very good primary school team. I think we got to we won the league when I think it was in primary 6 and 7. And I think I played at Pataudry in both years as well, winning the Dennis Law trophy, which was like your primary school's trophy.
So as you mentioned that, obviously for the Shire, so I was not actually sure if that was, but that explains it.
That was it. That was your
And you were a goal scorer back then as well?
Well, I tried. I just love scoring goals and playing up front. So that was my position for the school. I was a centre forward. And then we just led for there.
Big footballing family?
No, my mum and dad, my dad wasn't really into football.
Okay.
He obviously took an interest in myself, my mum actually took more interest in my football than me.
Okay.
So I wasn't really pushed when it comes to football.
Sometimes better.
It was just self driven. I drove myself in terms of motivation and how you wanted to be in the game and stuff. So
it can sometimes work out better, if you're self driven rather than pushed.
I've seen players that their fathers get too involved and it kind of pushed them in the way. I had a cousin, he was a very good player, and his father pushed him and he just went the other direction and obviously stopped playing.
I've seen it happen. Who did you grow up supporting and who were you idolising on the pitch as a goal scorer?
Obviously Aberdeen.
Aye.
I think my neighbour up the stair, he actually used to take me to some of the games when I was younger. And I remember being at a game at Pataudry in the main stand. He got me into the main stand, and I remember Aberdeen beat Airdrie 8-0. I think Steve Archibald scored 4.
Okay.
So it was kind of him at the time.
Golly.
And then obviously, your Mark McGee's, your Eric Black's, John Hewitt. And John Hewitt actually stayed up the road for us in Cornhill.
Okay.
It's actually a funny story, because when we were maybe about 10, 11 year old. I think John must have been an S form at Pittodrie.
All right.
So we all used to try and go up, because his brother was a goalkeeper.
Oh, aye.
Mm-hmm. Chubby Hewitt was his name.
Okay.
Alan Hewitt. And he used to hear, like, full-size goals.
All right.
So we all used to chop on his door to see if he'd come up and get his goals up. Oh, and brilliant. He used to ask John if he'd come along, but he never, obviously, never didn't want to do it, just to be in the safe side. Like, yeah, it was...
A good time to be supporting Aberdeen then.
Oh, God, aye. very successful under Sir Alex. And that's where you wanted to be. You wanted to try and get to where John Hewitt was.
Aye. And you trained with the S-Forms at Aberdeen, I think you said, and you made selects in the city as well.
Yeah. When, well, after obviously Cornhill went to secondary school, I actually went to Hilton for a year and a bit.
Okay.
And they didn't really get going with football. But when I moved to the grammar school, they're a very good football team.
Aye.
We had a very good football team. And the Pickowis actually got to train at Pittodrie.
Okay.
And one of my, he was older than me, a good friend of mine, Mark Emsley, he was signed with the S-Forms.
Aye, okay. Mm.
But we trained, like, after school, like, on a Tuesday.
Aye.
And that was, like, for about a year. But we actually got invited in Easter holidays and kind of, like, October holidays. So we got to train with the S-Forms then. So it was a good experience.
Some good players in there. Any that made it through?
Yeah, well, I was my work colleague, Graham Laurie, he got signed with Aberdeen.
Okay.
I think, well, he claims that he was Fergie's last signing.
Okay.
He claims he was Fergie's last signing, so before he left. But it was great. We trained on the Ash surface.
Oh, aye.
The car park as
aye,
well.
Aye.
So we trained there.
Aye.
And it was Lenny Taylor and Bobby Clark and mm-hmm. George Adams that trained us.
Okay. Yeah.
They were brilliant.
Aye.
But Fergie and Archie Knox, they used to watch. They were at all the training sessions. Aye. So you had to try and impress then. And they were very good. They were really good.
Brilliant.
Very encouraging.
Aye, good. And then Dice under 18s as well. You were there for a while. A good place for, it used to be a place for young boys, certainly of my age, went to play around here because there wasn't many teams.
Well, it's funny because I started at King Street under 12s and I was very loyal to them because I'd actually went down to Lads Club as a trial.
Okay.
The trial for Aberdeen Lads Club, because they were like the best team in the league at that point. But when I went down, apparently it was a mix-up and there was nobody there. But King Street were playing at the Lads Club.
Aye.
Because that's where all the games were, doing it at Lads' pitches. Mm-hmm. And the manager came up and said, are you looking for a game? And I'm like, well, I'm here for a trial with Lads Club. He says... Well, we're short of bodies. You would come and play for me. So I ended up playing as a trialist, scored. They got beat. You went to sign, and I signed basically the following week. And I stuck with them right through till under 18s, first season. And then the two managers at under 18 level there, they went to Dice. And they wanted me to go with them.
Aye.
So I went with them, and that was a fair side, that Dice team that we had at under 18s.
So who was the managers then that helped develop you in that crucial time?
Well, the two guys that run that latter King Street team was George Anderson and Alan Kerr. Now, Alan, he obviously is not to do with football now, but George is still, I think, involved at Dice in some capacity. I think he's like on a committee or something.
Okay.
But George was brilliant. They were two great guys. Mm-hmm. We had a very good football team. I think we won the treble. We did win the treble, and we should have potentially won the Scottish Cup. We got beaten in the quarter final, the semi final.
Okay.
But I think we should have won that trophy because we were a very good team.
Dice, I was struck me as a pretty well run club in general. I've also been some involvement with different side on the committees, and whenever you go there, you're well looked after.
Yeah, they're a good. It's a very good setup. They've got there just now, and they're obviously ambitious to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're in the Aberdeen League now. They've got their two youth development teams in, so been okay.
Now, just before we sort of started recording, you slipped in that you had represented Scotland a wee bit. You claimed you'd forgot. I think it's something that I would forget.
Well, I didn't. When you was asking me stuff about it, but it's totally slipped my mind because when I think the tail end under 18s, I was like a boys club of Scotland, and I was a group of us got taken down for Aberdeen, I think it was about four or five of us, and we played in a tournament against England, Wales and Ireland, doing it largs.
Aye.
But at the time, my knees were, it was growing pains, but they were just in pain, basically. But I was never ever turning down the chance to play for my country, and I ended up getting two caps.
Brilliant.
But regrettably, against Wales, we got a pen, I wanted to take it, and I just, I'll keep saved it. So that was a downside of that tournament. But it was a great experience.
Aye. Proud moment pulling on a jersey. Yeah. Aye, have you still got the cups?
Well, what they said was, if you hand back your kit, you'll get your cups.
Right, so you've still got your kit.
I kept the kit.
Aye, you maybe never seen a cap, eh? So at Ardle, who'd, I think, did you tell me the first club was Montrose?
Well, under Dice under-18s, the group of players that we had, almost 90% of that players were attracting attention at bigger clubs.
Aye.
I was myself, Scott Patterson, Paul Payton, Ian Gregg, Ian Alexander. Mm-hmm. What do you think of their guys in that team? But we always attracting attention. I think some were going to Forfar, some were going to Montrose. Mm-hmm. Me and Scott got asked to go to train in Huntley.
Okay, aye.
So we trained with Huntley a few games. And
What kind of year we're speaking about here?
88, 89.
Aye, so just like when Huntley were starting to kick on just before that.
Yeah, they're a fair side, because I remember training with Eddie Copeland, and Eddie was a machine back then.
Well, so I hear. I've talked to a few boys before I spoke to him.
He was a machine.
The fittest chain smoker ever.
Oh, incredible.
Aye.
I think Joe Harper was the manager.
That's right, aye. So, just
so me and Scott had trained with him obviously a week. We were still playing for Dice at the time, but we must have had a game on a Saturday, and Scotty got called up to the first team.
Okay.
He was in the squad. Was just like, and I got up in the bus with the players. This was my introduction to the bus trips. John Garner and gambling and cards and stuff like that in the bus. It was brilliant.
Quality.
So nothing came of that, and I think because Scott's brother Andy Patterson was playing for Cove.
That's right.
Cove are interested in Scott.
Okay.
But then I got a phone call. My mum got a phone call for Chip McClelland. Montrose were what they're doing just a training.
Aye.
And I ended up getting a sign for them in like a youth development form.
Okay, brilliant.
I think it was called an X form at the time.
Aye.
So I went to do it at Montrose. Scotty went to Cove.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Cove, and then obviously he went away to Liverpool after that.
Aye.
So he did really well there.
Aye. Brilliant.
After his wee spell with Cove.
Good time at Montrose. Good club. And
it was. Good experience. A lot of good players there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Maver, Scott Brown, Stevie King, Bruce Morrison, John Shuren, Davy Latter, guys like that were training me. Oh, the Les Barr.
Okay.
He's apparently a legend there.
Uh-huh.
some cracking characters there at training. But predominantly I played in the reserve games. I was doing quite well. We got invited to pre-season. That was very, very tough. I've never done anything like that in my life. It was so tough. We used to train at it's called Sunnyside Hospital.
Okay.
So as I fit my pitch outside the hospital, and I remember a game we played Cali.
Okay.
And Wilson Robertson, obviously, pace he had at the time. And I came on like the last 10-15 minutes of the game, and I was up against him.
Okay.
And I actually beat him for pace, and I remember he tried to catch me, and he actually grabbed my shirt and ripped the heel back of my shirt open. So that was my recollection of then.
Didn't I do that again, he said.
No. But we was playing like your Angus teams, your Breakins, your Forfars, your Dundee Uniteds and that. So we was playing against
good quality opposition. Yep.
And I was doing quite well, and I was scoring goals. And I think the manager at the time, Ian Stewart, had said to Chick that he wanted me in the first team squad on a Saturday, as opposed to... Because I was out on loan to Dice Juniors at the time.
Aye.
And Chick said, I don't think he's ready. So I don't know what happened. After that, obviously a few got released, and then I ended up staying with Dice Juniors at the end of that season. But they were like an aging team at the time, and the manager he wanted experience, so he never gave like youngsters a chance. And I was close to chucking it. I remember we played Sunnybank at Sunnybank, and I wasn't even in the squad. And my mate Alan Leslie, if I was playing for Bonacore Juniors at the time, I went over to watch them. And Jimmy Wilson was the manager. And Jimmy says, "What you Dino here?" I says, "Well, then in the squad." He says, "Well,
might get you here.
But then in the next day, announced that the manager got sacked, Ian Esselman take over. He took over as a manager of Dice, and Ian was absolutely brilliant. He phoned me up on a Sunday. He says, "Look, Gary, I want you here. I want you to stay here. You'll play under me." And to be fair, he did.
Aye.
And I actually did quite well in that season. And then Tommy Cummins came in from Rothes.
Rothes, so step up to Highland League. So how was the jumping standard back then for juniors to Highland League? Because I don't know if it's as big as it was then.
It was big. Aye. It was a big jump, yeah. You were basically playing men all the time.
Aye. Sink or swim kind of stuff.
Aye. And that was when you were Carly Thistles and...
Aye, the other teams
were Inverness Thistle, Carly,
the Great Huntly team.
Yeah, all these teams were in it. So Ross County.
That's
that era. So it was tough. I mean, I was like a bit of a rabbit in the headlights at that point, because I'm still a youngster.
Aye. Still playing up front?
Aye.
So who were the characters then at Rothes?
At Rothes, you like Gary Leeper, Neil Lesson, Colin Smith, Gordon Duncan. Kind of a lot of experienced professionals that played at a higher level. You know, they were good for me. In terms of as I was a player, and probably going forward as a coach, they helped me when I came back to the club.
Aye, brilliant.
To be involved at the club and help me as a coach, you know. So it helped me as a coach in terms of my personnel going forward. So it was good for that.
Definitely. You know. And if you've got those senior players that believe in you, then that's, you know, it's a massive help for MD.
Well, when you get a backing from a senior player. As a coach or a manager, they know that you've got respect, and respect works two ways, you know.
That's
so always good that way, yeah.
Brilliant.
100%.
It didn't work out for me as well as I thought it would, and I ended up coming back junior.
Aye.
Within about 2 and a bit years, I think I went back to Bonacor Juniors and was there for a couple of years. Then moved on to Bunks at E.
That's when the trophy started rolling in.
Well, need to start with, because I think we got relegated at first.
Okay.
That season we struggled. And then my fitness wasn't as good as it should have been.
All right, okay.
So I think the tail end of that year, I remember, because I was good pals with Mark Emsley at the time. Mark was obviously fit, and he says, come out running with me. So we'd go out running almost every other night during the pre-season. Pre-season started. Yeah. And I came back, and I remember, in fact, Kev Walker was at Bunks Adie,
because
his brother was a manager. Colin signed me, and he says, God, you're a shadow yourself. And I actually did really well that season. And
felt
we actually won the league that year,
eventually,
and we got back up. So it was good.
Aye, brilliant. I think you said 3 trophies in 3 years before a horrific injury.
Yeah, well, Ricky Cheen came in as manager, and Ricky did really well. Ricky's great, brilliant coach.
Aye.
And I remember we was on a run, playing really well. I was scoring goals, and we were up at Cruden Bay. We played Cruden Bay there, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. I got the ball. I was obviously facing main goal, just inside their half, and the defender came through the back of me. My top half went that way, my leg went that way, and I actually just felt the rip inside my knee. It was the most horrific injury ever.
I've seen one of them, and it's horrible.
And you just knew it was a bad injury.
Jeepers.
And I remember the ambulance journey, because I think the road into the ground was like a bumpy road, so every bump the ambulance went over either way back to Aberdeen, I felt the inside of my knee going up and doing it. Was like, oh my god, it was so painful.
Were you ever the same player coming back for that?
Probably no. Because
is that in your mind or?
Well, no. I think I've got quite a strong mind, James. What happened was, prior to that, when I was 15, I took seriously ill.
Okay.
And as a knock-on effect of that, I was on warfarin because I took a couple of blood clots.
Okay, yeah.
So because my knee was basically gone, the ligaments were totally ripped apart.
Aye.
They weren't going to reconstruct it because there was too big a risk of opening up my knee. So what they did was they just did keyhole surgery. And they just told me, if you build up the muscle around about your knee. So I basically played about 4 or 5 years after that with knee ligament in my knee. I was good pals with John Sharp, the physio of Aberdeen. So I went to him. He did a bit of rehab with me.
Okay.
Put me at Pam Smith, who was Dr. Frank Smith's wife.
Aye.
I did rehab at a swimming pool at King Street with her, where RJT used to be.
Aye, yeah.
So I did a lot of water recovery and airway, and that helped.
Good.
That and strengthen your knee. So I got by, because I read up in it, and I was taking like glucosamine sulfates to help me as well, because apparently it strengthens you as well. So I was doing that, so I managed it, basically.
Aye.
Okay. I'd never get to the level that I would have been at, that I've liked to have got to.
Aye. Okay.
What had happened was, after I got, obviously, that injury, I was still playing. I was playing.
Aye.
I got back for with Bunks ID for about a half a season, and then they never offered me a contract because of the fear of my knee.
Aye, okay.
But Hermes came in for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and played for them for a couple of years, and we won some trophies. It was good. I have some boys that played in the High League came back and played for Hermes.
Okay, aye.
But at that point, I remember going to a game at Pittodrie, and Graham McBeath, the Rothes manager, bumped into me, and he says, I just spoke about my knee, and says, look, Sharpie's told me to get into coaching or physiotherapy. He says, look, I'm looking for somebody to take over the youth.
Aye.
I want to build a youth team at Rothes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the conversation started. So I ended up... started a youth team at Rothes, and
were you picking up? Obviously, you worked under quite a few good coaches. Were you thinking about, was it Ian Heed or just Out of Blue?
No, it was near Out of Blue. But the more I got into it, the more, as I say, I was never driven. I was never told to do things. I was driven by myself. So once I got into it, and I started looking into the coaching side, going to courses, and then I did. I got a bug for it, and I was quite fortunate that Graham let me get on with it, and I got the pick of the best players in Aberdeen at the time. I had boys for the lads club, but Bunks ID, Bunks ID didn't have youth development at that time, so I got the pick of their best players.
Okay,
so they just jumped the bus, we just went up to Rothes, and we actually won the league 2 years in a trot.
That's right, yeah,
and we won the Highland League Cup as well, the Youth League Cup.
So produced some good players for the Highland League out of that squad.
I remember the first one, or was it the second one? Mikey Ord. Michael Ord, he did really well in the Highland League with us. Stephen Sim, he was in that squad. Duncan Goodall, he made the first team at Rothes, which is for Scythe, who's now, I think, chairman at Rothes.
Okay,
or he's part
in
of the
there,
hierarchy at Rothes. So guys like that did really well for us.
Brilliant. And working with youth seemed to be something you thrived at, because your next club was obviously Devon Vale. We assistant to Greg Carroll as well, as under 21s, and they got the title as well, didn't they?
Yeah, well, what happened there was Graham moved on to Bucky with Duncan Shearer, and I obviously wanted to get the Rothes job, believe it or not.
Okay, aye.
Got interviewed, obviously never got a job. I was a bit disappointed.
Perturbed,
and then I'd made up my mind I wasn't going to stay. But Bulgo came in and says, look, Hicker, I want you to work with me.
Aye.
I want you to take Aberdeen lads, you train them in Aberdeen, and work with me on a Saturday. So that worked quite well.
Aye.
And we got through the season. But I think it was just after Christmas, Greg phoned me. And he says, look, Hicker, I want you to come to Devon Vale. There's a position here for you. And I says, like, let me take my youth team with me. He says, Defeat, you win. So we did that. And he says, on a Saturday, you go... you do upstairs, do a bit of analysis, come doing at half time. If we want it to say, just say it. So it worked quite well with that as well. And then obviously, Walter and myself took the 20s, 21s. And
Walter Robertson.
Monday night. Yeah, Walter, great guy.
Aye.
And we won it the same year as we won the league.
Aye.
So it was quite a start to my thingy at Devon Vale.
And that 21s team must have produced a lot of players for the first team.
Well, how we worked it, and we did this at Bucky as well. Them it didn't play on a Saturday. Was on the bench. Them it didn't play started in the 20s and the Monday night. Then thrown in some of the youngsters. So you'd five over age and then your youngsters that made up the rest. So that's how it worked. I mean, you'd boys like Rusty and that playing on a Monday night if they were on the bench on a Saturday, Yogi and that. So they were quality.
But that's only surely a good thing for the younger boys to develop and that experience alongside them. Because it's the only chance they'll get, isn't it, if they're not making the first teams.
Exactly. And I think when you see the... you see now, the youth development teams now, it's kids that's in it. There's no experience. They're not playing with men or big men. So you're not actually kind of like, it was almost basically a reserve football. And that's what's lacking in football now.
Everybody's playing. A few folk have said that. Like,
it's all technical and that. So there's no like physicality about the game now.
Kind of reserve team football is a good stepping stone between youth football and
that's what I had. When I was 18, you were playing reserve at Montrose. You're only playing against 16, 17 boys, year olds are playing against men. And that's set your standard, doesn't
it? The first team won the double, didn't they? That was actually for your first team there. Yeah, first year there. Amazing time for that, for Vale. Obviously, it's never really been repeated since.
Yeah, it was. It was new for me because I wasn't wasn't used to winning trophies apart from obviously at youth level. Because Rothes never obviously won trophies at that point. So it was a great experience. First year, you win a league, you win a cup, and obviously you win the under 20. So it was quite a successful time then.
Aye.
And then I think the following year we won one trophy. I think we won the Aberdeenshire Shield through at Keith against Locos.
Aye.
The club was driven by success. It was well supported. It was a great club supported.
Yep.
I enjoyed my time at Devon Vale. Uh-huh. And obviously, Greg parted company with him at the same time as did I. So we just took a bit of time out.
Was Greg somebody you had a relationship with before?
Well, Greg played with at Dice.
Okay.
He played with at Dice for a spell before I think he left. I think he went away into the army.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Just after that time. And I know, with a good working relationship.
Aye. Some great players obviously played there around that time as well. Some of the best the Highland League scene, probably.
Mackenzie, Moby, Deglonsky, Kenny Gilbert, Blanchy, Chiz.
I heard training was often pretty interesting in that spell.
Rob Brown, Scotty Fraser.
Break up a few fights.
You just go to road. Because sometimes me and Greg took part. We trained at goals.
That's right.
And it was so competitive. I mean, Kenny Gilbert was going through the bucky in training. He trained like he played. And that's all you wanted to be.
Aye.
But it was sometimes it got a bit feisty, I can assure you.
Far was the real standout, though.
In their own individual way, they were all standouts. Mm-hmm. Mike McKenzie, to me, was an exceptional player. Mulby was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I thought Blanchy was an exceptional keeper.
You can ID the best 11s, and he's got the most votes in folks' best 11s as a goalie so far.
Yeah, he was. I couldn't believe how good a keeper he was.
I think he was unlucky at Aberdeen. Did he break his leg playing outfield for the youth team or something?
Oh, I don't care.
And that kind of finished him off.
But I couldn't believe how good a keeper James was.
Aye.
Or is.
Mm-hmm. I think he still plays sometimes.
Is he?
I think so.
He's a goalie coach.
He's a coach, but I think he used to sometimes pull the gloves on still. Like.
No, there was a lot of quality of the Vale. I mean, we're starting 11 was...
Aye.
Even our bench was
strong.
They were all game changers.
Matched with the right attitude in most of them as well.
100%. It was a good time to be at a club, that's for sure.
Aye. And also the social scene, I think I hear, was pretty good. Was that something that you and Greg encouraged and
I think Greg
took
did.
Part in?
Well, Greg did, because I think he did it prior to me. Greg used to go, we often used to bump into them in the town.
Aye.
When I was at Roth, I used to bump into your clubs, the Keiths, your Devon Vales, your Huntleys, they were all in the town, in the pubs and that. But as a funny story, because obviously we were out with the players and that, but you still have to distance yourself. But at Christmas time, we used to have a Christmas night out, and I think it was a theme. And I mean, we went as fancy dress. So when Greg picked us up for my house, and Greg's dressed as Shrek, I'm dressed as Braveheart, and we ended up in, I think it was. I think he called it Liquid at the time.
Oh, I can't figure
out. Yeah, so it's probably the only pub you get into in Aberdeen, I think, thinking, but we're all stunning. We're all dressed up Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Braveheart, Shrek, and I had like a fake sword.
Oh, aye.
And of course, there was a heap of youngsters in, and one of them tried to grab his sword. The next thing is a scrimmage, and Greg tried to step in, and he got a punch in the face for his troubles. It was funny. Well, so, not for Greg, it wasn't, I suppose.
Do you think it's important that the players especially socialise together? A lot of folk have mentioned it, but can the successful teams seem to, go together? A waffy football as well.
100%.
It makes 100%. A big difference.
Of course it does. Right. You've got to have a bit of bonding. Mm-hmm. As you say, it does help with the team morale and stuff.
Right. So it doesn't seem to be a lot of it new in football.
No.
Not as much.
I've listened to a few of the lads and made it, guys that played before me. That they don't even go back in the bus. Some of them go back in cars now. And used to stay in the social clubs for about an hour and a half. They don't even do that now.
No.
They're too busy waiting home to whatever they go and do their own thing.
Aye.
It's not the same.
Camaraderie. It's missing. Some big characters and some funny characters at Devon Vale in your time here. The journeys to and fro must have been eventful.
To be fair, I... I used to sit near the front of the bus, so I was at the back with the lads. So I kind of attended. Gregor Marcel used to drive a bus.
Oh, right, okay.
Or if he did get a driver for the bus, I would sit, but we would sit near the front. We weren't really at the back. There were a lot of players get on me, really, to be fair. So, there's probably stories I could tell you, but I wouldn't be telling you on air, that's for sure.
I don't know when he divorces, no. Greg had said when he was on that things didn't end the way there that he would have wanted to. Were you ever interested in taking over the manager's job there, or did you sort of go alongside your gaffer?
It's funny because when Greg obviously told us that was unfinished, and I said, well, if it'll happen, he says, well, it's up to you. I said, well, I'm not going to stay if you're not there.
No.
But the club, I was going to potentially be doing my B license at that point.
Oh, okay.
And the club says, go and do it, and if you're still here, we'll pay for it. Uh-huh. I'm like, well, if I go and do it and I'm near there, so that means I've got to pay for it. So I just says, no, it's all right, it's fine. So we left. Mm-hmm. Just took a bit of time out.
Aye.
And that was that.
And then joined the Vale's biggest rivals.
Well,
that
summer, Nahum was spoken about, but then I was an inkling that maybe Greg was going to get offered a job.
Aye, okay.
Because Kevin Small, who's one of my best pals, he'd actually told me the club were looking at maybe at Greg. And I said to Greg, I says, look, we're going to get offered a bucket job. And sure enough, Mark Duncan did phone Greg, but Greg wasn't ready. So he just went to take a bit of time out, which was fair enough.
Aye.
And understood that. So we just, for about 3-4 months, we just went and watched games.
Aye.
We sometimes jumped in the train, got up, sat in the social club, just enjoyed it, kind of enjoyed that side of the fence. So that's what we did.
But they came calling again.
I remember it because I actually had an operation. I got an operation on my leg. So I was off my work for about 5 weeks. And I had to go walking every day to keep the circulation going.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call for Greg. I was just going doing my walk because my mum stays like just doing the road for me.
Aye.
So I was walking at my mum's and back, and he phoned us. He says, we're going to Bucky, Ann. I went, what do you mean? He says, we're going to Bucky. You coming? I went, aye. And that was it. I didn't hate to say no. I just said, I'm gone.
Brilliant. And
obviously met Mark and that. Ian Clark, Gary Farker, and everyone was decided. And that was it.
Any hassle for any of the sets of supporters to start with the rivalry between the two?
I don't think so.
No.
I think because Greg had done such a good job at Devon and Vale, it would have been quite harsh for him to turn on Greg.
Oh,
and I think the only time he went back, he was always well appreciated. So
I would imagine he still is.
I don't think I was on any hassle there.
No.
For me, because I was only there a couple of years, three years at the most.
Yep.
I don't think I'd have got any trouble for them, to be fair. In fact, two and a bit years was there.
Aye. You took over, Bucky were at a low ebb at that point, weren't they? Morale was down. How did you just get them up and running again to where you took them to?
Just hard work.
Aye.
I remember the first game when you were going up, Michel and Greg, with Lochy United in the Scottish Cup the following week.
Okay.
And I think we went to Turriff to watch Lochy because we were playing Turriff.
That's right.
So we watched a bit of that game. And then we shot through to Bucket to watch Bucket and Keith.
Okay.
But Greg says, look, I'm just going to go up the stairs. I'm not going to deny.
Aye.
And, I think he saw enough in the first half. Well, he saw enough and he says, right, I'm going downstairs.
Aye.
And I'm like, all right, I'll leave you. But he went right in the rest room and basically says, look, you got Dunk and Shearer sack. You're not getting me the sack.
Aye.
That was them dealt.
Pick it up. Aye. Great club to be involved with, though.
Ah, brilliant. Aye. Absolutely brilliant.
Aye.
As you say, they were at a bit of a low ebb, but I think the club got a lift from when we came in.
Aye.
And Greg just put your cards on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You do it his way, or you'll be here.
You guys would have been the team that Abdi would have wanted at that point, surely, after the success at Vale.
Well, I think what was achieved at Vale, I think players would have wanted to come and play for us, and that's what happened. I mean, we managed to attract Mulby, Rob Brune.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Chiz came. Gary Clark.
Aye,
we got Chris Angus. If I was a promising youngster at the time, he was only 18.
inherited a few good players that you managed to sort of G up in a...
Yeah, I think we got the best out of fit was there. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of guys, I think, had maybe went through the motions at times. And the best thing for me was Jamie Shewan. He lived and breathed Bucky, but I think he needed somebody to motivate him more.
Greg said he gave him a job to do.
You could play him anywhere and he'd be a job. Centre-half, right-back, left-back, up front, and Shewan would just go through a brick wall for you.
Two mere titles then? Two titles in 3 years as assistant with Bucky, and one was clinched by beating Divin Vale, obviously.
Yeah, that was probably...
Special moment.
Oh, that was incredible. I'll never experience that emotion and the fans. It was something like 2,800 at a game. It was a different class. And it was written in the script because we go 1-0 doing Chiz scores, being a Bucky lad. But we actually played quite well. Playing quite well, and I remember Greg was quite calm at half time.
Okay.
He just says to him, keep playing the way you're playing. And we came out the second half, and it was just a ball over the top, and Charlesworth beat, I think it was, I'm going to say Scott Fraser for pace, and he rounded Blanchy and slotted it in, and then we just kept playing. And we just run the clock doing it, and I remember, I can't mind if I came off, but we put Lozer on, and well, it was just... The scenes after that was just incredible.
What a night that must have been.
I think I ended up in the centre spot. In a halfway line, the centre spot. And that was celebrating. So once we got and settled down, and then I'll say, a lot of folk, he praised the referees, but I thought Brian Braywood had a terrific game at
okay.
He was a ref, and I think he had a terrific game. He handled the game quite well.
Some game with two rivals going for the title.
It was, and
doesn't
it could have went either way. I mean, they pushed us all the way to the tail end of that season. Because they came from nowhere.
So you delivered the first league title in over, well, I think it was 50 years, was it, for Bucky? 52 years, so fans must have been.
Oh,
incredible. It must have been some celebration.
I remember, well, the first one was up at Wick, and Arnie and Joe Jappe. We had them in the changing room drinking champagne and everything in the changing room with the players.
Quality. Because they'd seen it all.
They'd seen it all and they'd been there so long and they're such nice people. It was brilliant for them. It was brilliant for the fans because they're a good bunch of fans. A fair back and they support a team through thick and thin. Some of them are tough. Some of them are tough.
Critics,
critical, definitely.
It shows the care.
100%.
You wouldn't know what folk to turn up, not bothering whether they won or lost.
Definitely.
Did you say a sort of set model how you wanted to run a club? Was it the same as you were at a Vale, or is it just, like you said, just hard work, getting up to work hard and play for each other?
Yeah, same thing, same idea. And I think at Bucky, they already had a bit of a bonding as well, because I think they used to go together quite a lot. Even Inverness lads would come through Aberdeen and hey, nights out and stuff like that. So that was already in place. They just needed that wee bit more to get them over the line. I think what I spotted with Bucky, they trained in different areas. So the Inverness lads trained, Bickney lads trained, Aberdeen lads trained. So you had to get them together.
Marty says that happens at Elgin still. I just kind of see how that can be beneficial
to the other clubs. So what we did was, and Greg straight away, we actually trained in Bucky twice a week to start with. But it was taking its toll, and I think even the chairman said to Greg,
once
is enough. So we decided we'd train close to Bucky, but no, I think we got a training spot at Huntley for a while. Then we got we actually started training at Inch. We got a training facility at Inch. It was on like an Astro of stuff. Then eventually we moved to the Sports Village. The problem they had before that, because of that separation, they did well up until Christmas time. Pre-season got them through to Christmas, fitness seemed to... to me, it was a fitness side of it. But obviously, when we got that corrected, you could see the difference.
Well, the Bucky titles perhaps made better than the Valine by the fact that you got two in a bounce and it's so hard to retain the Highland League?
I would say aye. Yeah, definitely. And I think... I think Greg said this, to do it even again, the following year is even harder because everybody wants to beat you. Even more so because you're a scalp to every team, regardless who you're playing against. Every game's a cup final. Yep. So yeah, it made it a wee bit more special. And then, of course, doing it against your closest rivals in the dying embers of the
cherry
game.
Cherry on top, that's it.
Yeah, so it was good.
Speaking about cup finals, you won a couple of them there as well. I think delivered a couple of cups for Bucky.
I think it was the first year we won. We beat Cove at Turriff. Mm. I think Mara scored in Beith.
Aye.
1-2-0. And that was the same year we won the league up at Wick. So we won the Aberdeenshire Trophy mm-hmm. and the league, yeah. The second year, I think we just won the league.
Aye.
And then the following year, obviously, we won the Highland League Cup at Banff against Cove.
Working with Greg and his team, was it very much his way or no way, or did you just hear say in fit was going on?
No, he, in terms of the players, it's his way or no way, but mm-hmm. he obviously listened to myself. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got the last call, being a manager.
He takes things on board for his team, his backroom team. Aye.
But to be fair, his ethos and how the game's played is very similar to how I think a game should be played. So we were quite close in terms of how we wanted to play. There was no conflict there. Aye. And we were very adaptable to formations and stuff like that.
Aye.
Don't get me wrong, Greg was a good coach as well as a good manager. So you can't formations and stuff like that. Good.
You obviously left a Vale squad for Kent Farthing how to enjoy themselves, and you mentioned there that Bucky boys did an hour. There must have been some funny stories for that spell.
The best thing's the Wick journey home.
Aye, win a league up there.
I mean, it passed quick, but I do remember, and it was a smell. I can't remember who it was, but Donnie Monroe had a hairy patch of hairs on his back.
Okay,
that got ignited by a light, a match or something. And they were all sitting half naked at the bus drinking. And
he was up in a blue low.
He was. I was just flames coming out of his back. It was hilarious.
Stinking the bus heat.
Oh,
how did he take that?
He just
never noticed.
Donnie
yet.
Was no worried. I think he was just too interested in getting. Hammered in the bus on the way home.
There was quite a few sort of local Bucky boys in that squad, isn't it? That makes a bit of a difference. And some of them really stepped
means
up.
Everything. Aye. Well, mm-hmm. Jamie Shewan, Zico, mm-hmm. Kev Main.
Aye.
It meant the world to them, so it was good for these guys.
Brilliant. Now, you became manager in your own right after Greg stepped down. Did he give you his blessing for that?
Yeah. When he decided it was happening, mm-hmm. I met with him. I actually didn't ken it was happening, and then he says, okay. Look, this is what's happening. You'll be taking over. Mm-hmm. You got to go and do it yourself.
Aye.
So I was never going to turn it down. No. It was too good an opportunity. And I think I'd done my apprenticeship.
You were ready for it. You weren't shitting yourself.
The main youth coach. I'd been an assistant.
Yep.
I'd done it for years. And I had the ticket. There was just no way I was turning it down. No. And I think I was ready at the time.
Aye.
I think I was ready for it.
Aye. I understand it was quite a tough time to be Bucky manager around about then.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people in the background wanting for me to change things within the club and mm-hmm. do things that, okay, I can understand that you want to reduce local lads, et cetera, and younger players. And we had youngsters at a club at the time, mm-hmm. but I felt that some of them weren't ready, but I introduced youngsters. I gave Sean Woody's debut at Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Joe Sutherland his debut. I gave Kyle Gold his debut.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Harry Noble his debut. So I gave these young lads their debuts at a club.
Aye.
And I'm glad to see that Sean Woody's still at Bucky.
That's right.
Harry Noble went to Devon Vale. The other lads moved on. But I'm glad that I gave these young lads a chance to show their ability at a club.
Definitely.
And it was pleasing for me that I could do that, you know?
Aye, for sure.
Yeah.
Two cup finals in 5 months under pretty difficult circumstances, I think, by then.
Aye, it was, well, obviously, when we was winning the league 2 years in a trot, then winning the league cup,
mm-hmm.
Certain players wanted a different challenge, which you can understand and respect that. So we lost quite a couple of good players, but mm. it was up to me to try and get my own boys in.
Aye.
The finances weren't the same because sadly Ian Clark passed away, so he pulled his money out of the club.
Yep.
but it was a good test for me. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get boys in that I thought could at least challenge again. It didn't quite work out the first season. It was difficult, but I think the second season was a lot better, and that's when we got a sort of my team on the park. But it was a lot of stuff going on in the background, James. It was difficult. I was managing the football team, but I was actually managing people in the background as well. It was conflicts going on, and it was difficult. There was people working behind the scenes that were working behind me.
Okay.
And so it was difficult. Aye. But it made me stronger.
Aye.
I remember the first two games. The first game was away to Cove, so it's not a tougher place to go and get a result. We only got beat 2-1, but we actually played not too bad. Then we'd wick away, and the same result again, 2-1. So I was feeling feeling the pressure, but I felt like this is not good.
Aye.
And then our next game was Brough at home, and they just spent a fortune.
That
was the start of them pumping money into the thingy. But luckily enough, we managed to win 1-0, and Dave McRae scored an absolute wonder strike for about 30 yards into the top corner. Great player. And then he announced about 2-3 weeks later he was moving to Australia. So that was another arena lost.
Great.
But we still had a nucleus, a good squad, and added in a few more.
Were you in charge from the beat Aaron? The Scottish Cup,
yeah,
great day that. Was that their first win against a league club for
56 years away from home? An SPFL club, the first game I actually felt we were a better team, and everybody thought we'd blown our chance. But I was quite confident because Dave was at a wedding, McRae, and Xander wasn't available.
Okay.
So the replay, I can't remember who it was, but somebody in the middle of the park wasn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave McRae came into the game, came into the squad. Starting 11, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Xander obviously came into the squad, but I kept him on the bench. He wasn't happy. he was raging. But I knew that he could come on and change the game if I needed him.
Mm-hmm.
And we again, doing air on the Astro, it was... They had a lot of experience as well, and we started the game quite well. They came into the game, there was chances at both ends, and then the second half, they scored a cracker. They scored a hell of a goal, and then Shawnee Carroll got sent off. A ridiculous decision. And then I put Xander on.
Aye.
And I took off. In fact, it was Dave McRae came off, because he pulled up, he got injured.
Aye.
So I put Xander on and changed the formation a wee bit, took it, and within 5-10 minutes, Xander scored, make it 1-1, and then we got a free kick. Martin Charlesworth got brought down about 8 to 10 yards outside the box, and I saw Xander, and I says, go on, and he just hit his thing in the top corner, and that was it.
Quality.
We just had to hang on, and to be fair, it's probably the best game I'll ever see Kev Main play.
Aye, class, just, sticks. Oh, aye.
Unbelievable performance for a keeper.
Aye.
For, I think it was the last 20 minutes, they threw everything at his bit of kitchen sink. And it was an emotional post match
team talk
speech. I remember Kevin Small and Colin Smith. They had to go to change room in tears.
So that's the moments you remember. Yeah, it's near the.
And I remember the press after a game interview, man. It was just how I managed to keep it. But I did. It was
quality. A real high point in a career.
Probably. It's up there. It's definitely up there. One of the best.
And I think you said to me a low point was obviously being sacked by Bucky and how things ended there.
Yeah, I was really disappointed. I mean, kind of when you get beat for... What had happened was we'd gotten that two cup finals.
Mm-hmm.
We should have won one of them, definitely. We got beat in Pens and we should have won it. I remember we're 3-1 up in Pens, and I think it was Spider has got the 14 and Lozar had the 15.
Ugh.
And Spider missed. And Lozar missed.
Aye.
And I joked with Spider, because we spoke at Spider a wee while ago, I think in lockdown.
Okay.
He was trying to arrange like a reunion thing.
Aye, aye.
And I said to him, you cost me that cup final. He said, fuck off. we should have won that cup final. Then after that, it kind of went flat after the second one.
Mm-hmm.
We got beat for Fraserburgh in the last 10 minutes. And it kind of just went flat for a few games. Mm-hmm. And then I was a kid. I was a. We played Clark at home on a Wednesday night, and I was a. I was about a carry on between the board, myself, and it escalated out on the street. It was quite embarrassing for them.
Okay.
And then they wanted me to go into a meeting. I says, "I'm not in a meeting here. I thought the chairman, because the chairman was backing me all the time."
Aye. Yeah.
Then eventually he came back, and the issue got resolved with the terminator player's contract. And one board member actually went to one holiday, and the Saturday we went to Keith and won 2-0, so it kind of settled itself down again. But I was, they were always looking for a way to, for it to happen. We got beat Fifth for William, and I kind of expected it in the Monday night training. Myself and Kevin were going up in the car, and Kevin says, I just sense this is coming. I says, well, it comes, it's football. Disappointing for Kevin as well, because he was getting a testimonial. He got his testimonial, but it was a pity that he had to leave a club while he was getting a testimonial.
Yeah. Soured it a bit.
Nay, that's an excuse, but we'd 7 boys out that game against Fort William, and we should have still won.
Aye.
And then I think about 5 or 6 of them are available on the Saturday. So
okay.
And then they go and beat Clough 4 or 5 on the Saturday. But it's football, is it?
That's it. The player you mentioned that got his contract terminated, it was obviously, if I'm right, fat as has been on here and had his say on that incident.
Yeah, he has.
Do you want to comment on that any further? Or?
No, that's not quite. I've got an issue we Mark, and it's the way things are. I mean, obviously, he's allies at a club. I had allies at a club, and it was causing friction. But yeah, I've got no problem with Chiz. No. The day we've both moved on.
Aye.
He's back involved in the game, and I'm back involved in the game, so...
Good.
Exactly.
So, how did the head of youth job come about at Cofin? Was there a bit of time out before that, or was you kind of...
Yeah, I had a couple of years. In fact, man, a couple. I think it was 3-4 years. I was actually going watching Cove quite a bit, because my fiancé's son plays for Cove.
Right.
Connor Scully. So I was going watching a lot of the Cove games. In fact, I did a bit of scouting for John sometimes.
Aye, okay.
And he'd say, can you go and watch a team? We've got him next week. So I did it on odd occasion. But I mostly went and watched Cove. So I watched him going winning leagues and winning cups and that. So he knew I was there. And I did say to him, look, if you're needing a hand or anything, can be on in if there's boys in there for training or whatever.
Aye.
He'd good coaches. He'd Graham Arson and Roy McBain and that. But I was just sitting at work, and I got a phone call. It was John. He says, pick you up there, and just working away. He says, I want you to go to youth development. We're looking for somebody to take it on. I says, all right, okay. He says, well, we've got a, I think it was a Monday, because he says, we've got a game tonight. They were playing, I think, Turriff.
Okay.
But they were playing, because they didn't have a pitch, they were playing out of Hermes.
Aye.
They were sharing grounds. Aye, so they were playing at Hermes. So I went over to Hermes pitch, chatted to him and Graham, spoke to the chairman, and then I said, yeah. And then took it from there. But there was a lot of players that was there that weren't good enough.
Okay.
So we kind of had to start again. I promoted more of the younger lads. Maybe earlier than they should have, but I said, look, this year's about consolidating, because I think they were sitting like second or third bottom.
Okay.
But we finished the season 4th.
Aye.
And I kind of was only in 9 teams, or I was only 9 at the time in the Aberdeenshire League. In the 17s, they were much and such the same. And then the following season, that's when it really kicked in.
Okay.
With a couple of cracking squads of players that did really well for me.
Fed a lot into the full team, the first team for that?
Well, what happened was, once the Grun was built at Cove, it was a huge attraction. So the first team would train in one half, and the youth would train in the second half. So how I worked it, depending who played in the Monday, if it was the 17s, I'd train the 20s the week before their game, and the 17s the week before their game. So sometimes I had them both in, but there were so many bodies to kind of manage it correctly, so to adapt the training to suit. So John would actually sometimes, or Graham, whoever was taking the training, would actually take a hand for the players.
So great experience
to get them in. Take a couple of
numbers as well.
Exactly. Because some of the first team boys were injured, or to mark up the numbers, they'd take a couple of like if he wanted a midfielder, if he wanted a striker. Mm-hmm. So I'd put a couple of lads out of them. So it was good for them.
Great for them, aye.
Yeah.
And was that about 2017 you said you started at Cove? So was that the start of them sort of showing the intent and ambition to start making their way up?
Oh, 100%. Aye. We knew that they wanted to get into the Scottish League. And the focus was if I could get at least a couple of them into the first team, which probably if they stayed in the Highland League might have happened, but because it went another level, it was going to be more tougher. But hey, the lads did exceptionally well for myself, and we've had some cracking results, and we went in a couple of good journeys in the Scottish Cup.
Well, I think you said it was at a quarter at Ibrox.
How it worked, it's under 18, so the 20s couldn't actually play in the Rangers game, so some were just slightly too old, so it was predominantly under 17s that played. There was a couple, it was just the age was 18, so they managed to get in the squad. But, it was a terrific experience.
Great day.
Brilliant. I mean, it was a Friday night.
Okay, quality.
In fact, would they go to Kelty first? And I remember in Kelty, they were at the top side.
Aye.
And they thought they were just going to turn up and beat us. We were up 3-0 after 20 minutes, didn't they? But they got it back to 3-2. Then we scored to make it 4-2. And then we hung on and we won 4-3. So I think that was a Sunday game. It was a Sunday.
Aye, okay.
But we played Haddington, was the next round, and that was a Friday.
Aye,
so the boys had to get off work and get a waffy school.
It's a fair trek, like.
So we do Haddington, we won 1-0. And then the next game was at Ibrox, and that was a Friday night as well. But boys were getting off their work.
You're
for
taking
that,
your work for that, Neville, than I.
it was a brilliant experience, and the Rangers lads were exceptional. In fact, Nathan Patterson played that night.
Okay,
because I remember the manager saying to me, he says, "Man United's watching my right back at the time."
Brilliant.
That was a fair experience.
Aye. Quality. And you started helping out with the first team. That was in the promotion to the league season, wasn't it? Was that due to John Sheeran's ill health?
Obviously, John had his heart attack. And Graham and Roy. I'd been going to games anyway. I was in the change room with him. I wasn't actually actively involved. I'd go in the dugout and that, but I wasn't actually dealing with him. But when that happened, I was mucking in and helping Graham and Roy and that. So it was good to be involved at that point.
Aye.
Obviously, not for John's sake.
For John,
because but obviously, thankfully, he came through it and he's healthy now and doing well.
A great man, John. Great fit by man and
superb.
Gove.
Great guy.
Aye.
Brilliant. Great leader.
Mm-hmm.
Great manager. Very good with the players.
Aye.
Easy to speak to. I've got a great relationship with John.
What's his role there now then?
He's director
of football. Of football.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye, John's a good lad.
Okay, so good help for Paul Hartley. He's not intimidated by him, and now he's experienced at Cove. He's a good help for him.
Oh, I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Aye, definitely. But then obviously when we won promotion, we got up.
Aye.
And then the chairman decided that obviously John wanted to step down because of his health, which you can understand.
He didn't
put too much pressure on himself.
Sure.
And then the chairman went for Paul Hartley.
Aye.
Which was a
great
fair
appointment.
Oh, incredible.
And shows the ambition as well, sort of statement of intent, because he was doing well. He's at Alloa. He did well there for a while.
Alloa and then Dundee, then Falkirk. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out for him at Falkirk.
Nope.
Then you obviously. But the gaffer actually took a few sessions at Cove when John was not there.
Okay.
Big games, leading up to big games, he would actually get Paul into these sessions.
Aye.
So I'd actually worked with Paul then.
Aye, okay.
So I kind of knew him.
Aye.
He's great, brilliant to work for, brilliant to work with.
And
he's backing stuff are tremendous as well.
Well, that's it. He's a man with international European experience. It must have been a big lift for Abdi.
Well, he's captain of Scotland, captain of Celtic, captain of Aberdeen, captain of Hearts.
That's it.
And he's got a fair pedigree. And Gordon Young, his assistant, is Dundee United. He's coached abroad.
Aye.
He was a Latvian coach as well. Mm-hmm. So he's got a fair pedigree as well. And Tom Ritchie, Hearts, fitness coach as well.
So they stepped up the sort of professionalism and that as they go through the leagues.
I mean, the club was professional before, but this is
an extra notch. Yeah.
Different gravy altogether. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. They're very strategic in how they do things. It's the players get all the tools to go and win games, put it that way, and everyone's there for them.
Quality.
It's pretty good. Like,
And Paul obviously brought a great backroom team along with him that you joined, but some good names there that have helped develop you as a coach as well, I would imagine.
100%. I think Gordon and Tom are tremendous at what they do in their work weekly with Cove, and I've learned so much from both people. It's frightening. Tom, to me, his knowledge of the game and his psychology of the game and his sports science knowledge is incredible. I mean, he does the warm-ups and the fitness side of things, and it's amazing to watch his variation in training and his variation to everything that he does. And Gordon's obviously knowledge where he's been and coached in the game is up there with the best. And for a part-time club to get these guys in, it's phenomenal. And backing up with the obviously the appointment of Paul, it's great for the club.
It's a fit buzzing a one man game in terms of management anymore. You need that team you can trust in place, that's for sure.
Well, 100%. You need guys behind you. I know myself when I was at Bucky, I had to make sure I had the right coaching staff behind me. And my first appointment had to be Kevin Small, because I knew he was one. He was a legend at Bucky, and two, he was someone that he had a great knowledge of the game. Defensively, I needed a defensive minded coach in the game. And on top of that, you've just got the right people surrounding you to make sure that you've got every base covered, you know. And I think at Cove, we've got every base covered. And the knowledge these guys have got is phenomenal.
Brilliant.
When it comes to not just a game, but week to week, training to training for through the season is tremendous for the club.
Amazing. Yep.
Yeah.
And a good bunch of players to work with.
Oh, terrific.
I had Mitch Meganson on at the end of last series.
Yeah, I listened to him.
He said he went to Cove knowing he'd be back playing in the Scottish Leagues before long.
Well, the club's ambition was to get into the Scottish League. Aye. The chairman's very ambitious. The certainly the manager and the players are very ambitious now as well. So everybody's
great facilities now as well.
Well, that's
been there a couple of times.
It's a big attraction, and it's a good thing for you. I mean, the good thing is I've still got a couple of young lads that train with the first team, and they're signed with the first team. Aye. So you'll see a couple of them training. Keeper, Big Ball, and Reese. So they're in, so they know what the levels they've got to get in that first team.
Am I right? COVID paid to sort of the youth for a bit, and you're now solely involved with the first team. You've kind of made a step up.
What happened was, obviously, with COVID, because of the hail, nobody was sure what was going on, going through the coming into the dressing rooms, the sanitisation, everything. They didn't want to take a risk of young lads coming in, potentially them getting infecting first team players. So the decision was made just to put it in abeyance at the meantime.
Fair enough.
But they've done the same again this year because there's still uncertainty. So, but it doesn't affect my role. I'm still in with the...
So you're right. Was the aim to sort of progress and work with the first team, or do you miss the youth side of things?
To a point. I didn't miss a hassle. Because, trust me, you still get a hassle for parents.
Parents to deal with, they're the worst.
Oh, incredible. But when it happened that Paul came in as manager, he met with the squad and the players, because the Wednesday night we had a friendly against Locos, and Michelle and John took the team that night, and then I think Paul was at a game with staff, and then the Thursday night they did a meeting with the players, did a presentation, and John had arranged for me to meet Paul, obviously, to can do what I was doing. So I didn't know if he was going to let me go, but he says, "Look, Hector, I'm happy to work with you. You're happy to work with me."
Quality.
And then young Yaxi says, "What are you doing on a Saturday?" And I went, "Well, I normally come and watch your games." He says, "No, you'll come in with us."
Brilliant.
So I come in, I do a bit with the with the warm-up, and I work with the fitness coach, do a bit with youngie, and do a bit with the back four and the midfield and match days. So
great. That's good. Far as winning League 2 as part of that team then, rank in your personal achievements in football?
It was brilliant, but it was just a pity it wasn't completed. I mean, we won it deservedly.
Was the shine teen off it a bit with COVID?
Of course it was.
Did you manage to get a celebration at all?
Nay, really.
No.
We've had, obviously, we've had nights out since.
No. How's the social scene at Cove, neither a League One team compared to the Highland League teams you were at? Very different.
It's slightly different. Aye. It's nae, I mean, coming back to the bus, I kind of go down with the kit man prior to the game and come back to him. Because I help him post-match. Edzer. He's a character.
He's messaged me a few times. He's listened to a few of the podcasts, actually. He seems like a top.
He is, he's brilliant. He'll tell you a story. He's a Scotland fan as well. He's a big Scottish fan. They don't get a drink on the bus.
No.
They've gotten it once. They've gotten it once.
Never again.
No. Nine like that. I think it was the Scottish Cup game earlier this season. I think they got a drink in the bus, but it's very rare. I think it's...
They came out and gave themselves the further up they go, didn't they?
I think you get back, and you're not far. I think the furthest away is Dumbarton. So you're back up around two and a half years and that. It's not a big thing, but no, the night suit players, I had a night suit. The staff we here were night suit. We got quite a bit. The gaffer took us away tail end of last season. A couple of nights away and just for a bit of bonding.
Spending all that Celtic money.
It was funny because it was the weekend of the playoffs. When Dundee got promoted, so we actually went and stayed at. In Dundee. And we actually watched the hotel we were in. Dundee were staying in that hotel that night. So we went to a pub, like, just near far for the hotel. And went back, and apparently, we were in Barbez, but apparently the players were back. They were swinging for the chandeliers and partying a lot of years in the morning.
Brilliant. And you were in your bed.
And we were in Barbez.
I don't believe that.
I was there. Trust me.
I think it was another an Ibrox trip with Cove again was in the Scottish. Was that the Scottish Cup?
We drew them in the Scottish Cup down at Ibrox. Unfortunately, I was no fans allowed at a game.
That's right.
Which was a pity because the club would have been financially rewarded. Had there been fans in the ground. But yeah, it was a great experience again.
Is there support for clubs in that respect for cup sort of gate receipts and that?
Well, it was SFA. Was it any Premier Sports that filmed the game?
Okay, so
there's
not
the
TV.
Same money as in Sky. Different, but it was Premier, so you weren't getting the same. Sort of money.
It must be great to be involved in Cove at the moment when they're marking the charge to the leagues. It's kind of the echoes of Ross County and Cali for the 90s and the noughties. It's exciting time at a club.
It is. It's where the club wants to be. Mm-hmm. And I can't see a reason why you kind of have two teams in the Scottish League for Aberdeen.
No, definitely. I think it's been a long time
Dundee's
coming.
Dundee's got it, so I can see why Aberdeen's got it. They've got a bigger population, so there's no reason why it can't be done.
Doing well enough this season. Queen's Park seem to be the team to beat, though, between using them.
They've become full-time.
That's right.
As a few clubs full-time.
Money
in the
there,
league.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest with you, there's not a big difference between the levels of where we are and the full-time sides. We've shown that against the teams that we've played. But obviously, at the start of the season, was a bit disrupted with the whole COVID thing again.
Is it still testing every training and
we're still
three,
testing,
four times a week?
Three times a week, testing. It's we're getting back to some sort of normality. Because we're demarrying risk assessment now, we can now, we're in our own changing rooms. And away team will be in away changing room. Because some teams are still doing the changing in separate dressing rooms, and some are travelling in two buses and all that stuff. It's a fair expense.
That's it,
But we're back into sort of getting there. Fully, but we're getting there.
Okay. If I was a joy to work with then on the training pitch at Cove,
I'd say them all.
You'll get better
players. They're terrific players.
Fab will we see playing in the SPL afore long then? And then get to make a step up, something that's coming through.
First team.
Youth team.
As I say, we've got two, it's in training just now, that's obviously survived for the whole abeyance of the youth team. It's Reese and Ballant, so it's up to them. Reese has had a test because he came on against Stirling Albion in the cup and did actually quite well.
Okay, good. We'll look out for them. fits a realistic ambitions for Cove in the next 5 to 10 years, would you say? Will we see a second Aberdeen team in the Premier League?
I don't know about the Premier League, but definitely, hopefully, Championship.
Championship, yeah. Aye.
You never know, everybody might come back doing it, the Championship, the way they're gone.
Well,
hopefully not. But you never know, you just done again.
Well,
nobody would have envisaged Ross County and Carlow getting in the Scottish Premier League. So
that's it. They've got a set up there to go and do something, I would say.
It's there, but there's more to build in it.
Oh,
I think there's more to build, so hopefully it'll come to fruition.
Aye. Good. Do you keep up to date with the Highland League of Tanu?
Yeah.
All right, are you sort of happy with how things have opened up and the setup new with the pyramids and things? Obviously, it's worked out well for Cove. Can you see other teams following that?
Yeah, I think it should have happened years ago, to be honest. I think there's clubs that's ambitious to go up.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's clubs that would like to go up, but maybe aren't ambitious, if that makes sense.
Or maybe not ready
to go up, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I still keep an eye on the scores. I've still got friends that's involved in the Highland League. I've obviously got players that's on loan to the Highland League, mm-hmm. to Cove.
Aye.
So yeah, I've got to keep an eye on him. Obviously, you know, Craig's got a couple of lads at Keith.
Aye.
There's a couple at Huntley, and I think that's it.
Aye. You still keep in touch with your old mucker Greg? Obviously, he's doing a London new.
I think the last I spoke to him was probably when he was at Huntley.
Okay.
And I'd have still been at Bucket at the time, so a year ago. Craig's life's obviously took a different path.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, as you say, he's moved to London, so he's got his a new life down there.
So
I'm sure he's enjoying it.
Well, I always like my guests to tell me their best 11. I think you've gone with the best 11 you've played with, is that right?
Aye. It would have been difficult. I think you said yourself, it's difficult to pick the ones that you've worked with as a manager / coach.
A lot of managers.
I'd have been here a night trying to pick a team. So I did. I went with players that I've played with.
Aye. Well, if you just take us through them quickly, that will be spot on. Have you got them written down? I've got them in front of me.
Aye. Well, Kenneth, I've worked with a lot of good keepers.
Aye.
I played with a lot of good goalies. But the one I went for in goals is Richard Bowman.
Okay.
Bo played with me at Bunks AD.
Mm.
And I told Rothes about him.
All right.
It was myself that pushed him to go to Rothes.
Aye.
And thankfully they signed him. And I think he won about 2 or 3 player of the years.
Aye.
Then he moved to Huntley. And I think
he had that great season at Huntley for he won the league. With Billy Anderson.
So he's done there. So I think Bowman probably gets a nod.
Mm-hmm.
I had Jim Will that went to Arsenal.
Right. Yep.
I played with him at Dice. And I think he played 2 games, then he moved to Arsenal.
Aye. Dunfermline as well, was he?
Yes.
Aye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also played with Michael Watt.
Oh,
he played Aberdeen. Wilford Aberdeen.
He played on Scotland Under 21.
He played in FIPA Festival with us.
Oh,
aye. From a FIPA Festival for Select. And also Ivar Hughes. Mm. Ivar was a good keeper as well.
Aye.
He played with Matt Rothes. But I wouldn't be Bowman purely because Fitty's won.
Aye.
And I know what he was capable of, and I'd probably stick with him in the goals.
Quality. Okay, you got back 4.
Aye. I thought I'd keep it simple.
Mm.
Try and keep it simple. The thing, I think nowadays the game's complicated.
Aye, it doesn't need to be.
You need to keep it simplified.
So folk can get jobs in the stats and stuff, isn't it?
Well, this is it. And their iPods and whatever. Aye, so I went with a back 4. At right back, I went with my assistant at Bucky, Kevin Small.
Kevin Small, aye.
Purely because at Bunks AD, he played with us at Bunks AD as well, his recovery was incredible.
Okay.
Ace.
Aye.
Back in.
Aye,
it was incredible. And I know he went back in at centre half and he went to Bucky, but I think nobody was beating him for pace at right back. He was a good defender.
Aye.
He did a simple thing. So that's why I put him in at right back.
Mm-hmm.
Left back or centre half?
Left back.
Jim Cheen.
Uh-huh.
I played with Jim in FIPA Festival with the Select. And Jim obviously went on, I think he went to Peterborough. I think he was at Lads Club and then he went to Peterborough. A guy that used to work with me, Stuart McIntosh.
Mm.
And then I think Tosh went to Chelsea.
Aye.
But Jim came back up the road and he had a successful career in the Highland League. So Jim's another big, tall lad.
Aye.
Great athlete, physical. Yeah, a lot of boys get past him. Aye. Me, fits a bill at left back.
The big strong, look at that. It's
and
a big strong.
He could get up and do
defense,
the park as well, centre halves. In the FIPA Festival, I played with Mark Perry.
Oh,
I played it back with you in the FIPA Festival. And Perry went on to have a cracking career with Dun United, Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. Great athlete again.
Aye.
Perry's the same age as me.
Aye.
He does 10Ks in like 35 minutes.
Aye, still very fit.
I remember I was doing a bit of running for a while. My fiance got me into running, so aye, we aye. Started doing 10Ks and half marathons and stuff. And I remember doing the Baker Hughes at the beach, and I noticed Perry was doing it.
So aye.
The route coming back, you're running along Pittodrie, Perry was coming back this way with his medal, and I hadn't finished.
Well, we did a Great North Run a few weeks ago, and I was flipping 60, 70-year-old boys coming in a way as I was just getting out of way.
Perry was a machine as well for fitness, so Perry and a lot of boys get past him. He was good in the air.
Aye.
Very good football player as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, he fits a bill at centre-half alongside my director of football, John Sheridan.
Uh-huh. Okay, suiting up there.
Well, I phoned him the other day, and I says to John, I says, you definitely played in the reserves with me, did you? He says, aye, I did, because he'd went away to Australia and just before that year. And he came back, and to get his fitness up, he played a few reserve games, so he did confirm that.
Oh, well.
So John's a great centre-half, strong, powerful, height. So my back four has got everything. It's got athleticism, height, and...
Solid.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of boys get past that.
Brilliant. Okay, so centre-mids?
Centre midfield, Mark Emsley, ex-Aberdeen, Peterhead, Cove Rangers, great centre midfielder. Played with me at school, at Grammar.
Mm-hmm.
Get forward, he could tackle. Good passer of ball. Loved to score goals. He could strike a ball off a distance. He could certainly back his back line for defensive duties, but also in attack information, he would get forward and join him with the attacking players. We used to have a competition at the Grammar, actually. Emsley tried to score me a goals in myself and one of the strikers I've got in my team. He tried to compete with us to score the most goals, so he was always trying to shoot for distance. So in the middle of the park with him, I've got Scott Patterson. I played with him at Dice. Scott, he was a very cultured and composed football player. Great in the ball. Tall, athletic again. Bit of quality, went to Liverpool, did really well down there, and I think he played numerous games in the reserves for Liverpool, and then before he came back to Scotland and Dun United, Partick, Gretna, I think he played for Gretna as well.
Good player.
Very good player. So that was my two centre midfielders. You've got ball winner, cultured football player.
There we go. Perfect combo.
Yeah. On the right, Avoxy went with Chris Clark.
Aye.
Chris, he played with me at Hermes. He was on loan for Aberdeen to Hermes.
Aye.
But he's got his coaching school now. I think he does like one-to-one coaching.
Okay.
Back up here somewhere, I think.
Aye.
But he obviously played for Cove as well. In Aberdeen. But no, Chris, I remember the year that we won a couple of trophies at Hermes. Myself and Chris struck up a great relationship going forward. Ken, he was a good link player for me. He'd always find JB passes and great delivery of ball. So that's why I put Chris in there, right midfield. Left midfield, he might be a bit unknown to you, is Ian Gregg.
Okay.
Ian was, he played with me at Dice. He also played with me in the Fitma Festival.
Okay.
Ian was another one. He went to Montrose with us.
Right.
But I think he ended up at Arbroath.
Okay.
For a spell, but he's now a police officer.
Right. Well, hopefully he is unknown to me then.
I bumped into him when we were at Dundee for that weekend away with the coaches. Bumped into him there. He was there with his wife and his kid at the hotel. So
cool.
It was good catching up with him.
Aye. Okay, so far as getting the goals in.
Well, I've went with a player that played for Aberdeen and Hibs. He actually he's married to a girl that stayed just down the road from me. John McGaughey.
Okay.
He had a spell he was at Hermes as well. So at Hermes sided.
Some team, eh?
Not a bad side. John, he's like your target man.
Aye.
But he could score goals as well. He was very strong. So I used to, the games I did play with him, fed off him. So he gets a nod up front alongside Alan Leslie.
Okay.
Ex Keith Cove Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
Slexy played with him at King Street and a grammar school.
Aye. Okay.
So that was my. Slexy is good coming in, dropping off. Aye. Good, clever football player.
Yeah.
But he could also score goals as well. He was a good finisher.
Quality. Good lineup for Skipper, the team.
I'd probably go for John Sherrin.
Sherrin, okay. Yeah. So who would manage this team then? Who are the gaffers you played under? Who's going to take charge?
Oof. I kind of say John. I kind of say him because he's playing.
Player manager, right?
It's a tough one.
Well, obviously, I say Paul Hartley and his button staff taking charge of that team. For the day, I suppose.
Aye. They do a good job with them.
Aye.
If we drop this team at the current FITBA, far abouts would they be competing at, you think?
Well, they definitely win a Highland League.
Aye.
Aye. They could compete
in League 2.
League 2, yeah. 100%. Okay. Yeah.
And would you get any games?
Doubt it.
No. It's honest, at least.
I doubt it. I have got subs written down, but okay. I can't even
watch. Well, you can list them off if you want. Hey? Got them here. Is it Ian Alexander?
Aye, Ian played with me at Dice as well. I think Ian's a terrific left back. And he'd be good cover if either Ian Gregg or Jim was in the fit. Ian could go in at left back, no problem. Dodge Stephen, Keith and Peterhead.
Aye.
He played at Hermes with me as well.
Okay.
And Dodie, did I grab a goal for you?
Aye.
Alan Lyons was at Montrose, and he played in that reserve games as well.
Okay.
Lenny was good. He was ex-Aberdeen also. Very good midfielder.
Aye.
Good getting forward. And Colin Maver.
Colin Maver. And we'll not tell him he was in a team until last night.
No, it was a tough one. I only played with Colin a couple of times.
Aye.
Although we trained together a lot, but I think you only played a couple of games. But I played almost a whole season with Chris.
Aye.
So
aye.
I think that's why I
last minute
starting 11.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cheers for that, Gary. I was finish off with some quick fire questions to finish us off and round it up. So the first thing is, I was one thing you would change about football to improve it.
Probably say VAR, definitely. The offside rule, get back to normality.
Aye.
Keep it simple. You're offside or you're nay.
You're nay, aye.
There's too much, is it nay?
Aye.
Although, I noticed the VAR decision with the Tottenham goal was a good one.
Aye. There's a lot of great
he did look offsides, to be fair, but he wasn't.
No, well, that's it.
So that's probably VAR was good for that one, but I think a lot
it's
of the
Scotland
VAR
do it recently as well.
Well, aye. But I think we're interfering with the game too much.
Aye. Okay. Who would you like to play you in the movie of your life?
Colin Farrell.
Okay. Who is the biggest nut job in the dugout or the touchline you've ever came across?
Dearie me, there's been a lot of. I think Greg was quite tough in the dugout. I wouldn't say he was a nutter, but there's been a lot. But, I'll tell you, Davey Robertson's quite mad.
Okay.
Because I remember we played Elgin.
Aye.
And he was manager of Elgin. And I think he actually picked up one of the chairs and flung it towards, and it almost hit Linda Legg. I remember that. So
Linda would have gave as good as she got.
I can imagine. I remember that. And I was in the Scottish Cup. I think we won 5-4.
That's right. Well, Graham Watts, I think he scored a goal, didn't he? He spoke about that when he came on. He always remembers that night. It's a great photo. So wheeling away celebrating. Okay, if you could bottle one moment of your career to relive, what would it be?
Probably winning the league against Evanville.
Aye. Okay.
That and probably beating on in the team. Probably the success I win the league's more, but the emotion of that
personally, game,
for me was exceptional as well.
Okay. Very last question. Which pro player, past or present, was most like your style, attributes and personality on the pitch?
Robert Fleck.
Okay, goody. It's nine I've had a four. Norwich and Rangers, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I think he had a few cards for Scotland.
I can tell you a story about him.
I'll go for it. Are we allowed to keep recording?
Aye. Mark Emsley, good pal of mine, went to Norwich for a spell. He signed for Norwich for a while.
Aye.
And Robert Fleck was there. and they were going to training, and Fleck was a guy for the wind-ups and that.
Okay.
And they were in, I don't know who the guy was driving the car, but Mark was in the car with Robert Fleck.
Aye.
And they're driving to training, and they were stuck in like a motorway.
Mm-hmm.
So Fleck got out of his car, run to the car, if ever the player was in front of them,
aye,
tell him to put down his window, switched off his Nissan, took his keys, and then left him in the motorway.
Oh dear. Well, good way to finish up on an anecdote. Gary, thank you very much for coming through and coming welcome on and telling your story. It's been great to hear. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, James.
Cheers. Well, a big thanks to Gary for taking the time out of his schedule to join me in the hot seat this week. The love of football really came through there, and hopefully his predictions on Cove's rise through the Scottish Leagues will come true. If you're new to the podcast, please search for us and follow or subscribe on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify or Anchor FM. New episodes will be automatically downloaded to your device, and you can also trawl the back catalogue of around 80 episodes. I've got everything from local, junior, Highland League, professionals, internationals to World Cup stars. Next week, I will introduce my first European Cup winner to the show, when I'll be joined by former Devon Vale, Hibs and Aston Villa star Des Bremner. Until then though, bye for now.